I mean, here's a guy that criticizes everybody, whoever they take. He's got the answers to who you should take and who you shouldn't take. And all of a sudden, he's an expert. He's in our papers 2 days ago telling us who we have to take.
Welcome back to the First Team. I'm Joe DeLeon. With me is my co-host and NFL draft analyst, Ryan Roberts. Today, we're going to be talking about two of the top running backs in the 2025 NFL draft. Continuing our summer scouting report series, Ollie Gordon from Oklahoma State, Ashton GT from Boise State. Very unexpected pairing of schools that we're going to be discussing here. Let's start with Ollie Gordon, the man who, for some reason, Mike Gundy would not give him the football in the first couple weeks of the year. They played like crap, and who would have thought? The guy who is 6'1", 210, and can run like a lean 190-pound wide receiver should have been getting the ball more, and he explodes for 1,700 yards. Ryan, quick background on Ollie Gordon. What do you got?
He's a Texas guy, so went down the border to up the border, I should say, to Oklahoma and went to Oklahoma State. He was actually he was a big-time player in high school, Joe, but he was a good recruits from a recruiting ranking perspective. Rivals actually had him the highest. He was ranked as the number 109 overall player in the 2022 recruiting class, number 161 by On3, so not too far off. ESPN also had him as a four-star. Your boy's a 247, though, man. They said, you know what, Ollie? You're a three-star, brother. You're a three-star. So they had Ollie Gordon the lowest out of the major recruiting platforms, only rated as a three-star player. He is a younger cat. He is only 20 years old right now, will not be 21 until January of next year. So a nice young age. Also, not crazy tread on the tires either. I mean, I know you mentioned the big year that he had this past year, but I believe if I remember correctly, just looking at his career stats, I was going to pull him up real quick. Yeah. So he ran for 1,700 yards and 285 carries. The year before, he only played in six games as a true freshman, had 43 carries. So like not a crazy amount of tread. Obviously, it's going to increase substantially this year because he is the engine that Oklahoma State works off of, right? But he is a four-star kid from Texas that made his way up to Oklahoma State, has obviously had a big, tremendous impact for the team in 2023.
So I'm a big Ollie Gordon fan before I watched his tape. Just so exciting to watch anyone who was paying attention to college football. I know that we do have some people who tune in are just NFL fans and kind of want to learn who's up next. But if you were watching college football, he made Oklahoma State games so exciting despite their offense just really not having much going on for them. I mean, Alan Bowman, I mean, he's been playing football for 100 years, it feels the greatest.
So Alan Bowman showed early signs at Texas Tech. You were like, oh, okay, maybe.
And he got banged. He got banged up, and he.
But do you know he spent like?
It just kind of realized.
Do you know he spent a year or two on Michigan though? Did you know he was at Michigan before this? Like, I had no idea Alan Bowman was at Michigan. Zero idea he was at Michigan.
He's a weird one, but the thing with Ollie Gordon, in any game that it was close, you knew that they had a shot, which is so rare to find with a running back, that you knew he was going to find a way to make a play and get them back into the game. I think what makes him so unique, he's one of the most unique running back prospects I think I've watched and will ever watch, because at 6'1", 210, he moves like he's 5'9", 195. Yeah. Not saying he's a 4'3 burner. He's probably going to be a low 4'5 guy. He's probably going to have similar athletic testing numbers, I think, to Derrick Henry. But he is just so shifty in and out of his cuts. He glides in and out of rushing lanes. I think he's got great, great vision. He's really impactful as a receiver, almost plays like a tall, lean, well-built slot receiver. He just can do so many things that you would not expect for a guy of his size. You almost don't even have a lot of tangible evidence of him being a thumper for how big he is, but I think he can do it. I think he can certainly do it. This is why, Ryan, I believe that Ollie Gordon is exactly what could work for the NFL, because there's such uniqueness to him where he's able to create for himself in space. He's able to be a huge threat in space, but more importantly, he can pound between the tackles when you need him to.
One of the key things that I really did like about Ali's game, just kind of talking about from a performance perspective this past year, is he showed up against most of the good defenses he played. He ran for a 121 against Iowa State. He had a good game against Kansas State, 136 yards. West Virginia actually had a pretty good defense last year, and he torched them for 282 yards and four touchdowns. He had a good game against Oklahoma, BYU, Houston, Texas A&M, had some really good games. The only game that kind of, I don't know if antenna raised is the best question or the best term, but the best defense he played all year was Texas. And I know Texas versus Oklahoma, Texas, it does outman Oklahoma State. Like, that's not a debate, obviously, on the show, but 13 carries for 34 yards. So obviously he did not have a great game against Texas.
Well, if I remember correctly, and I might be slightly misremembering, I believe he got a little banged up early in that game. Exactly. Like, I don't think there was a little bit of a, because they were giving him so many damn carries at the end of the year. There was a little bit of a stretch where towards the end, you could tell something was a little bit off where, like, injury wise, and he powered through it. But if I remember correctly, he was a little bit banged up at the end of the game. But you bring up a really good point. He did face some really strong defenses.
He did. Like,
Iowa State's defense was one of the best in the Big 12. And he's one of the few running backs that we can say, oh, he still managed to produce despite having and facing off against a lot of really good defense, which just cannot be said about a lot of receivers, a lot of running backs, any position. There's a lot of guys that disappear on film when they play against the best teams for their collective opposing position.
It's why I liked Audric Estime so much last cycle, because Audric Estime was facing heavy boxes all year at Notre Dame because they did not have a consistent semblance of a passing game in South Bend last year. And Oklahoma State's the same way. Like, Alan Bowman would have one really good game and then three clunkers back to back to back. And then he would have another good game and then four clunkers back to back to back to back. I mean, so it was, the passing game was so inconsistent, and you knew every single week that number zero was the one that was going to get the football. Like, there was no doubt about that. I like a lot of, he's got a little bit of kind of that high leggedness to him. I know you mentioned, like, Derrick Henry. Yep. Derrick Henry's obviously a much bigger back, but, like, you could think of guys like Steven Jackson or TJ Yeldon or types of guys that are a little bit taller, a little bit high cut, which when we're talking about from the negative,
and they run very vertically. Yes. They run very high, very, very
and just kind of the change of direction. I would say this. I think Ali's got good feet, right? But I do think that the change of direction is a little bit, I don't want to say labored, because that's a serious negative connotation, but it's just not going to be quite as quick as, like, when we talk about Ash and Gene T, right? Like, it's just not going to be as quick because he's not as low built to the ground. So when you take a look at a guy like an Ali Gordon, you need to understand that, like, the stop start's not going to be as impressive as some guys. The just overall lateral explosiveness isn't going to be as good as some guys that we're talking about in this class, but he is a bigger back, obviously. Like you mentioned, 6'1", 6'2", listed between 210 and 220 now. So he is a bigger back. My hesitation with him, because I agree with you, he has a really good feel for space. I think that he catches the football well. It's just in the brand of NFL today, Joe, I value, and we've talked about this a little bit before we started, I value the guys that I think at the line of scrimmage that can create something for themselves, right? That short area quickness and being able to make the first man miss in the backfield and being able to deceive first and second level defenders. I think Ali's deceptiveness is more out in space than it is at the first to second level consistently. I just don't necessarily see that incredible short area quickness in that sense. I think he's a very deceptive runner, though, because you don't think he looks incredibly fast, and then he just kind of chews up yardage a little bit, and it's probably a little bit of that high-legged, long stride type of approach. So I like Ali. I think that it's going to be dependent on situation. Like, for me, even though he isn't what I would say is the perfect outside zone runner, I would love him in an outside zone system on the next level where you could just allow him to be patient front side, stick your foot in the ground, and then you can make guys miss in space and make them look silly on the second to third level rather than first to second level. So I think that he is going to be a situationally dependent player, but I do think he has upside in a correct situation because he obviously has that vertical explosiveness. He has a bigger body, and he's got good, solid foot quickness to be able to just navigate one gap to the next.
Here's the only thing I would push back on what you're saying with not exactly being super exciting with his short area quickness when he's at the line of scrimmage. I think because he's so much bigger, there shouldn't be much of an expectation for him to be elite in that sense. Like, he's just not going to be able to cut and get in and out of his cuts like Jeanty, who's 5 foot nine. He's just not going to be able to do that because his legs are so long. So I don't really need to, because he's got the frame. And as you're saying, in an outside zone scheme, he's going to do really well because you just let him ride the line, ride as the line's moving, and then find that hole and then hit it and explode through the hole. That's where he's going to really, really be productive. And we see that's like works really well with Derrick Henry, where he finds those holes, he hits them hard, and then he's able to break through any tackles because he's such a strong runner. I think that Ollie Gordon might not be as much of a power back as Derrick Henry. Right. He doesn't need to be short area, quick step, efficient like some of these smaller guys, because he brings the size to the position. But what makes him, to me, a bigger, bigger threat is very rarely do these massive guys over 6 foot one, over 215 pounds, very rarely are they threats in space. They're almost never threats in space. That's why I think he brings a ton of value to this conversation as the top running back in the class.
So he's not my top running back in the class, which we'll talk about in a second. But I would say my pushback to the pushback would be this, right? Is that when we're valuing the running backs that need a runway to get started early in reps, typically the guys that really need a little bit of space, patience, foot in the ground, explosiveness, we're seeing less and less of those guys be able to really hit in the NFL. Like you mentioned Derrick Henry, which is obviously a guy that isn't easy, an easy one.
Well, okay, well, what are good examples of guys that haven't hit? Because I just don't think that there's a lot of guys like this that come out.
Najee Harris would be one that I don't think has hit.
Well, I don't know if he has.
He averaged less than 4 yards of carry last year.
He shouldn't have gone in the first round. And they also had a bad offensive line.
My reverse question would be, name me the guys that did need a runway that have turned into really good NFL players recently.
Well, you know who actually, and this popped in my head, who I think my comp is for Ollie Gordon. I mean, he reminds me of Le'Veon Bell in a way. Very similar build, very similar. He's a little bit faster than Le'Veon Bell, but probably going to test similarly to Le'Veon Bell. Not a super big thumper, but patient.
It's really good
at hiding behind linemen and finding rushing lanes. He does really feel like
Le'Veon Bell. You know what's funny is that there's a different running back in this class that we'll talk about here when we talk about the top 10s that actually reminds me a lot more of Le'Veon Bell. A lot more.
Oh, spill.
Damian Martinez gives me Le'Veon vibes, man. He is so patient for a big back.
You have used so patient. 10 different running backs to comp Damian Martinez.
That was only the second one. I said Steven Jackson last year because he plays for Oregon State and it's hilarious, right? Like it's a helmet comp, Joe. That's not a real comp.
No, I Damian Martinez is too compact, I think, to remind me of Le'Veon Bell.
You were shocked. Shocked that Damian Martinez was only 5'11 and 7'8. You were shocked about it because you do not think he's compact. You do not think he's compact. You liar.
Well, now that I know he's compact, I'm not going to make that comparison. Wait. Let's read Le'Veon Bell's combine stats. So he was 6'1, 230, so he's 20 pounds heavier than Ollie Gordon, but I feel like Ollie Gordon might end up being a little bit bigger. It feels like would make a lot of sense in his pre-draft process if I was 220,
right? Somewhere in that ballpark. Yeah.
He runs a 4.6. Mm-hmm. He has a 31.5-inch vertical, 9.10 broad.
That's actually pretty not great numbers for Le'Veon.
Yeah. 6.7, 3-cone, 4.24, 20-yard shuttle, 24 bench. Those last three are pretty good numbers. I don't know, dude. I really think that there's a pretty good comparison there between Ollie Gordon and Le'Veon Bell.
You know the great thing about having a podcast, Joe, is we can ask the folks. Mm-hmm. Let us know what you think in the comment section.
I don't want to know what you have to say. All right. BetOnline remains your top spot for all of your live betting action and contests. NFL, college football, UFC, NHL are all in full swing. BetOnline is your number one source for wagering news, odds, trends, and predictions with both desktop and mobile access at any time. Head to BetOnline today and use promo code BELIEVE, that's BLEAV, for 50% off your first deposit. That is a 50% welcome bonus. BetOnline, where the game starts. Let's move on to the next guy that we're talking about here, Ashton Jeantee from Boise State, 5'9", 215. He is heavier than Ollie Gordon. He is a bowling ball. Yes. He runs hard as hell. He is impossible to tackle. Quick background on a guy who is playing for a program in Idaho who, I hate to do this, and guys get mad at me, and I'm sorry, Boise State fans. He's just like Jahmyr Gibbs, where I wish he did what Jahmyr Gibbs did, because Jahmyr Gibbs transfers from Georgia Tech, goes to Alabama, and becomes a first-round pick. I don't know if GT could be hindered by that because he stayed at Boise State, but God, I wish I could have seen what he would have been like if he was playing running back at Georgia, or what's another team that needed a running back this offseason that maybe didn't get one? Like Ole Miss would have been really excited.
Bama maybe?
No, Bama's recruited well because they've got...
And what has Georgia done? Well, Georgia hasn't recruited well at running back. I mean, they got running backs.
Not as good as Alabama. Who's the one cat that they've got?
They got Justice Haynes and Richard Young. Haynes, who's Richard next Young's up. The next guy too as well. So
All right, background on GT. What
so
do you
we
got?
Actually have verified measurables on him, Joe. He's well liked by both the Blesso NFS services, right? That do spring grades. 5'8" and 2/8" So 5'8¼" and 217 pounds, though. So not a little dude. Short dude. Not a little dude. December.
That's the build I want.
December birthday. Yeah, sure. December birthday.
I don't even say that jokingly. If I was that jacked, I'd be so happy with myself.
Do you remember Doug Martin when he came out of Boise State? That is not a comparison because they are much different players, but they used to call him Muscle Hamster. And like I feel like the same thing about
Doug Martin.
Is that he is really strong and well-built to the ground. He'll be 21 in December, so he's still 20 years old right now. Hometown originally, actually was born and raised, I think, for a while in Jacksonville, Florida, which was where he was originally from. But he spent his high school years in Texas, so he played at Lone Star High School, was rated as a 4-star player by both 247 Sports and On3, but then obviously was a 3-star by the other two services, which is just kind of an interesting note there. Played a lot, despite the fact that they had, what was that? George Halani, right? Was the running back that Boise State already had. Yeah. He was a pretty good player, like a good college player.
Yeah, I think he's on the Seahawks training camp roster
right
now.
About right. So, I mean, he was a good college player. Despite that, Jeantee, true freshman season, ran for over 800 yards, became a guy that was a part of a two-headed monster. Then this year, actually, Halani was injured to begin the year. So it was the Ashton Jeantee show. And then when Halani got back, he kind of became a little bit of a two-headed monster. But he ran for over 1,300 yards this year, 14 touchdowns, averaged over 6 yards a carry. Also had, Joe, impressive receiving line, 43 catches this past year for 569 yards and 5 touchdowns. So this was a dual threat running back, running game, passing game, had a ton of production this past year for Boise.
So talk about a guy who can create in space. I think you just hit the nail on the head where they're throwing him passes out of the backfield. He's snagging them out of the air, and he is just making dudes look silly. I think what makes him great is the physicality paired with the quick feet, the easy cuts. He gets to really easy acceleration, like gets up to top speed very, very quickly when he finds that rushing lane. But as you and I were arguing pre-show, I really love these guys that have good body control and bounce and barrel their way forward. He just finds a way to keep rolling. That stuff is super valuable. It's stuff that you don't almost think about when you're watching a game from the broadcast view, but when you're putting together a roster and you have a running back, if you steal a yard every couple plays or 2 yards every couple plays, that's how you score touchdowns. That's how you get first downs. It's so simple, the formula to creating yards in the NFL. Any that you can get in any area is going to be valuable. Yeah. But to just sum up GT before I get your thoughts, really phenomenal athlete. Mm-hmm. He is so shifty. He is so hard to keep up with. And most importantly, the vision is so, so good. Yeah. So he is going to probably be RB2 for me, right behind Ollie Gordon with a very similar
grade. Imagine having this kid at RB2. Could never be me, actually. Actually, couldn't be me. Joe, this kid, built to the grounds, has really good contact balance, can break through a lot of arm tackles. You're correct that he he has that forward body lean where he's able to recapture balance and create extra yardage after contact. He does all that stuff really well. The vision, feel for space, and ability to make dudes miss on the first, second, and third levels is elite. Like, he has an elite level here. He has it almost at times feels like he has eyes in the side and in the back of his head, man, because he just has this this rare feel in space to make guys miss that I think is just superb. And then we talked about the passing game. This kid's one of the best. This guy might be the best pass receiving running back in the 2025 NFL draft. He is a very smooth way of, in the screen game, being to evaluate space a ton. He's comfortable catching the football. He doesn't fight it. I would like his pass blocking to take a step forward. I thought there were flashes of solid in pass blocking in 2023, but as a younger running back, it is one of those cases of just need to get better. Like, you just need more practice at it, right? Because he was used more as an outlet receiver and just a receiver in general than a guy that was going to stay in and block in extra protection. But man, I just think that this style wins in the NFL today. Like, I really do. I think that this style of short area explosiveness, vision, feel for space, comfort catching the football, that's just an all-around profile that gets me super, super excited. So I am in on this kid, man. I have a borderline first round grade. I have a very high second round grade on Ashton Jeanty. Yep. I think he is a plus starter in the NFL very early on in his career. And if you told me 4 or 5 years from today that he's one of the best all-purpose backs in the NFL or best all-around running backs in the NFL, I would believe you. I think he has that type of upside to his game.
I have like a mid-second on him. So very like right, I have a 7.7 is my grade on our scale. So a 7.9 to a 7.5 is early to mid second. So I've got that mid second 7.7 there. What do you have on the 7.9?
I have a 7.9. Yep. As high as you can get without being a true late first round grade. So, yep.
Ollie Gordon's a 7.9 for me and Gene T's at 7.7. But yeah, I think you do paint a really good picture here that maybe he is one of the tendency breakers, if you will, where he does sneak his way into the back end of the first round. The impact is very tangible. I'm trying to think like comp wise though. I've been like really trying to rack my brain here of like who fits this profile. Who do you
Chris
think?
Chris Carson was a guy that I thought of a lot to play with the Seahawks. He's a better receiver than Chris Carson was. Like, Chris Carson was not much of a receiver coming out of Oklahoma State and wasn't really for Seahawks, but the body type, physicality, short area explosiveness, second effort running does remind me a lot stylistically of Chris Carson. And then if you look at Chris Carson's athletic profile, he tested a lot better than people probably remember of him, right? So I think the running style, body type, he's shorter than Chris Carson, but I just think the play style is very similar there. But then he has that pass receiving game, which I think kind of it separates him if we're talking about a draft prospect, right? Like, Chris Carson gave you nothing in the passing game for the Seattle Seahawks, really. He was just a early down runner. I think that's what makes this kid such an all-around threat is that he has a unique feel in the passing game as well. So all in on him, man. All in.
Two great prospects. Let us know what you think in the comments. Hit the subscribe button at Joe DeLeon at Rising Draft. 5-star review wherever you tune in, and we will talk to you folks later.